We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leah Mattinson, and thank you so much for tuning into the Master Your Life show from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. It's my absolute pleasure today to welcome my guest, Carrie Thiessen. Carrie came onto my radar just this past week. So whatever the timestamp is of where you're living, the recording date today is January 31st, 2023. And so it came to my attention. I live in Alberta, Canada. So I've been playing across the world on this podcast for about 7 years now. And so lots of people maybe don't know where I'm from, but I was born and raised in Alberta, Canada, south of Viking, Alberta, on a farm. I'm a farm girl through and through. So recently, there's been stuff, and those of you who followed along the podcast for a long time know we've had guests on that have talked about the shenanigans that the globalist elite are up to. And what came across my radar this week was almost like what feels like a land grab in a way. In Alberta, Canada, here in my home province. And so I had three different people send me videos of what's going on in an area called Thorhild County. And I reached out to a couple of people to see if I could get connected somewhere. And Carrie was kind enough to invite me to a group and for me to be able to get connected and get somebody on this interview. So Carrie Thiessen is a huge advocate of freedom, self-sufficiency, and resilience development. That means accepting personal responsibility for our own spiritual, emotional, and physical resiliency. Along with my husband, Ryan, we've been growing and raising and hunting most of our food together for nearly 26 years. We've been in Alberta for 8 years and in Thorhild County for 10 months. She has a background of 17 years teaching CPR, AED, first aid, and wilderness and remote first aid, which would be a very challenging thing, that's for sure. She's no wussy, apparently. There you go. She has a background in volunteer emergency response, a firefighter, and medical first responder with fire rescue departments in both Alberta and Saskatchewan. She's a former education in disaster and emergency management. Sorry, she has formal education in disaster and emergency management. So, Carrie, welcome to the show today. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
So tell us about what's going on. What is Thorhild County? Where is it? How big is it? Who lives there? And what is going on right now that has so many people up, really upset about what the current conditions are?
So Thorhild County, we're northeast of Edmonton, about an hour or so. And in our county, we have just over 3,000 people, between 3,000 and 3,100 people. We don't even have one town in our county. There's seven hamlets total. And, by land use, our county is about 99% agricultural. So, and by population, about 72% agricultural. So meaning about 28% of our residents actually live in the hamlets. The rest of them live, on farms, country residential acreages. They're out in the country somewhere. They're not in an urban environment. So this year, they began the process in early 2021 to begin updating the land use bylaw for the county, which is totally reasonable. The bylaws need to be updated. Completely understand that. But they hired a company called Green Space Alliance, which I don't want to speak anything poorly against the company, just I don't believe that they delivered the type of product that is appropriate for our demographics up here in Thorhild County, given that their background is very much in urban planning and development. In fact, the word urban is slashed all over their website. So it's very, very clear that their specialty is in dealing with large urban centers. They've done work in Edmonton, but also in like cities of 26 million people in India, right? So a tiny little community like this with a very low population, which is almost exclusively agricultural, seems to me to be somewhat out of their scope. And I would say that after reading their proposed land use bylaw rewrite that they presented to us at a meeting on, we had a public hearing on January 10th. Actually, I should backtrack a little bit. The final draft of the land use bylaw was completed and posted on the website on October 27th. So we actually did have opportunity to review it starting back in October. Then on January 10th, they held a public hearing where we were able to go and speak our concerns and voice our feelings about the contents of the land use bylaw. So that's kind of what we did. So I was aware that the land use bylaw actually existed back in probably November or early December, that this update actually existed, but I didn't really take the time to take a thorough look through it up until the week before that January 10th public hearing. And the only reason I did that was because somebody sent me a picture of an ad that was taken out in the local newspaper saying, oh, hey, they're having this public hearing about that bylaw. And so I was like, oh, okay, I better take a look at it. And so the week before, maybe 4 days before something, that January 10th public hearing, I just sat down with a cup of coffee to look through it and was pretty shocked at the contents of the bylaw and how much it had changed from its predecessor, which is the existing land use bylaw that we have now.
And so with that, because I was taking a look through some of the documents. It went to quite an extensive document. Like it's over 200 pages, isn't it?
It is. And in fairness, the original was as well, or the existing land bylaw that we have now is as well. But that's partly because it contains so many amendments, which is the reason why it needs to be updated. So basically that the existing bylaw came into existence in 2015. Between 2015 and 2022, there's been a number of amendments. So it totally makes sense that they're going to update it and make it into one flowing, cohesive document. What our concern is as a group is that we don't understand why they didn't do that. So they didn't actually just make it into one flowing, cohesive document. They chose to do a complete rewrite and bring in this big urban planning company in order to complete the rewrite. So there's a number of things that are somewhat confusing to us is A, why the company that they chose was chosen, because it doesn't seem, even at the outset, if you just take a glance through their Facebook, or not through their Facebook, through their website, you can see quite clearly that they would be an odd choice to do this type of a project. And secondly, why a complete rewrite? Why not just do what I suggested, which would be to just integrate the amendments into the existing bylaw so that it's one flowing cohesive document? Like, why make a new one entirely? So, and the one that exists, or the one that's been presented as the proposed rewrite, bears very little resemblance to the existing document that we have now. So the changes were extensive, and we don't really have justification for why that many and that extent of changes were actually proposed.
Right. So first of all, I'd encourage everyone who's listening to make sure that you make notes about some of the people who we're talking about, and just for your own records and being able to do your own investigation, which we often encourage people to do on this show. So the name of that organization or that business is Green Space Alliance. So just check it out for yourself. So Carrie, what were the things that you were mainly concerned about that you could see in this document?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a vast number. One of the things was with fences. So again, like I said, that we are predominantly, more than predominantly, we're almost exclusively agricultural, with the exception of a few small hamlets. So there's a clause in there that says you cannot have a barbed wire fence without a permit, which is bizarre in an agricultural community. So you can't put up a new fence. You can't do anything with barbed wire fences. And on that note, so if I were to think about the, you know, people that have existing cattle ranches and whatnot here, people that just own a handful of horses or whatever, the bylaw actually is also retroactive. So that was another main concern, is that not only is it indistinguishable from its predecessor, but it's going to be retroactive. So when this proposed bylaw comes into force, even if you were compliant with, you know, you built your house, you followed code, you did everything right. If there's any changes in the new bylaw that affect you, it's retroactive. There's no grandfather clause in there whatsoever.
So when is it retroactive to 2016?
Retroactive to that will be in force. So everything that is in that document is now in force. It doesn't matter if you did the work to your home in 1932 or in 2016. It doesn't matter if it's not up under the new bylaw, then it has to meet the new bylaw. Yeah.
So unlimited, essentially. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so what was their concern with barbed wire fences? That's a very weird, the argument? Was there any sort of reason for the argument against barbed wire fences? Like, was it about barbed wire? Was it about herding cattle? Like, herding livestock? What was there? Did they say what the reason for no barbed wire was?
No, I can only surmise. What I would suspect the reason is that these were written by people who are used to living in the city, right? So not having a barbed wire fence would make sense in Edmonton, right? So if you're living in a community where your homes are like right close together, not putting barbed wire up in a city community is a completely reasonable expectation. So my assumption would be that the people writing it had a difficult time envisioning what actual country properties operating on a daily basis would actually look like. That's the only thing I can assume. When we were at the community meeting on the public hearing on January 10th, the spokesperson for the GSA, you know, did indicate that, you know what, that's just one part of the bylaw. That it's changeable, right? Like we could change that. We could take that out or we can adapt it, right? They didn't say they would. They just said they could. So the purpose of the public hearing was that they were collecting information from the community. We had 47 people total at the public hearing. 37 of those were members of the public. Of the 37 members of the public, so meaning not council or administration, mm-hmm. Of the 37 people, 10 people spoke separately. Plus there was two letters that were written by the administration for people that had something to say but actually weren't able to attend. So not one person spoke in favor of the bylaw. All 10 people that gave their very impassioned presentations to the council and administration spoke, you know, quite grave concerns about what would happen if this bylaw were to be implemented. So, I mean, I'll give the GSA guys credit. They did speak to us a little bit at the break and said, hey, you know, like this is a living document at this point because it's just a draft. We can, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to change it. However, that public hearing was really our one and only opportunity. According to the Municipal Government Act, the council can't actually interact with the public anymore on this, right? So once they're actually forbidden from speaking about it in public, once a public hearing is completed. So now they've taken that information, they've withdrawn to, you know, analyze it and see what changes they will make to the document. And then they can come forth with a few different options. They can come forth and say, no, we like it. We're going to vote to put it through as is. Or they can come back and say, hey, we've made these changes to it. We're going to vote to put it through with the amendments that we've made based on the recommendations that we got from the public. Or they do have the option of actually voting to defeat it and just start over, which I would suspect with the fact that they, you know, have budgeted $100,000 to pay the Green Space Alliance to do this, it would be hard for them to justify to themselves to just throw away $100,000. So I would suspect they're not going to go with the option of voting to defeat the bylaw entirely. But I can't say that for sure. That's just my guess.
Right. So what, just a couple of the other things, because one of the things that got my attention, not the barbed wire thing, but the chickens, like laying hens. So how many laying hens you can have? And I think we need to get into the details for people, Carrie, because there's so much false information out there that it almost sounds conspiratorial when you talk about this stuff, because it sounds so crazy, right? You go, there's no possible way that anyone in their right mind that lives in an agricultural community would suggest these things. Yet here we are. And it's not just the barbed wire fences. So can we talk about some of those other things? And again, to encourage people who live throughout the world, not just in Alberta or Canada, that you're actually phoning your municipalities, your constituency offices, you're finding out what's going on, because this is not a one sort of one horse show. It's being run everywhere.
Yeah, I can't emphasize that enough. Myself included, I was woefully unprepared for this when I sat down to read the land use bylaw. I had never read a land use bylaw before. I had no idea what all it contained. I did not understand how much power and control it actually had about what we are able to do on our own land. And in my situation, we actually own our land. We have no mortgage on our property. It's actually, we own it outright. So it's hard for me to swallow the idea that they can have control over how many chickens I have on my own property, because this isn't like, I'm not in partial ownership with this, with the bank. I'm not in arrears on my taxes. So that, like, I own this land. So why can't I do exactly what I want? So to speak to your point about the chickens. So in my original post that I had made, which I think is probably what caught the attention of most people everywhere, is regarding the chicken thing. So there is a clause in there that says, it talks about accessory buildings. So the first thing that caught my attention was that it says you don't need a permit, a development permit, for an accessory building that is smaller than 10 meters squared, unless it's a hen enclosure. So that clause in there got my attention right away. So that tells me, and that's for all zones. So in every zone in the entire county, you are going to need a development permit for a hen enclosure of any size. So you have an upturned coffee table that you have two, you know, put some chicken wire around, and you've got two, you know, laying hens in there to surprise, so, you know, supply you with a few eggs a week. You actually need a development permit. You have to go through the entire process of submitting a development permit to have that on your property, even in an agricultural zone. That's bizarre. So the other thing was in reference to the urban hen bylaw. So the new bylaw references a document called the Urban Hen Bylaw, which does not exist. We actually just had first reading of it on January 24th in a draft form. So at the council meeting, they read the draft form of it. But at the time that the land use bylaw was put, or the proposed land use bylaw was put forward, there was no urban hen bylaw that existed at all. In fact, the county had voted against an urban hen bylaw in 2021. So now this new document, or this new proposed land use bylaw, comes out. It references the urban hen bylaw, and we're like, what's the urban hen bylaw? And so I mistakenly originally posted that this urban hen bylaw was going to apply to all zones, and it doesn't. It actually applies to the hamlets exclusively, and the hamlets and the modular home communities. So it's actually not going to apply to the agricultural zone or to the country residential, like I first thought that it would.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But that process for the people that do live in the hamlets of, you know, complying with the urban hen bylaw, if the urban hen bylaw does go through, is extraordinary. Like, you have to have a PID number, which is like your farm number. So you have to have that number. You have to attend a hen care course, attend and pass and prove that you have passed this hen care course. You have to get the written permission of each of your neighbors that adjoins your property. You have to have you have to build an enclosure. The enclosure has very specific, this is in the proposed hen bylaw they're the draft version of it that they just presented on the 24th. The enclosure that you have them in has to meet very, very specific size requirements, including to like how high the perch is off the ground, what the perch is made of, like the diameter of the perch. It has to have one nesting box for every single chicken, which makes no sense whatsoever, because hens, if you know anything about raising hens, they share their laying boxes, right? So it's not like you can like label them and say, you can only go in this one and you can go in this
one.
Get
in there, Marge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yes. I can't even remember all of the ridiculous regulations that went along with that. And, you know, having to have the written permission from each one of your neighbors, It doesn't even make any sense. We don't need to do that for dogs, right? You can have a barking dog, a dog that barks forever in your backyard. Oh, you have to have a plan to deal with the waste, right? So you have to actually, part of your development permit has to be having a plan in place to deal with the waste. And you know, so it, council did send this back to be edited, right? Because it, the councillors in this meeting, you know, did voice some concerns about it. So it's not that necessarily the hen bylaw that they presented is going to go through, but this is what first raised the alarm with the proposed land use bylaw, because it, it referenced this urban hen bylaw, which didn't exist. And then the first draft presented of the urban hen bylaw was ridiculously restrictive, even for a hamlet. And so, yeah, anyways, but it doesn't change the fact that even in agricultural zones, you have to have a, even somebody that lives on a farm, they just want the, you know, to have a couple of hens in the backyard. You actually have to submit a development permit in order to have a hen enclosure of any size. It's bizarre.
Right. And with every permit, there is a fee attached, I'm sure. I'm sure these applications are not free.
Well, yeah. So, and the application process, you know, you apply for the permit. It doesn't mean the permit's going to get approved, right?
Right.
But they still are going to keep your money that you gave them to apply, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not, you're not paying for the permit. You're paying for the right to apply for the permit, I guess, or the privilege of being able to apply for the permit. A couple of other things actually affect some of our neighbors, because some of the changes in the new document say, or in the proposed land use bylaw say, that you can't have a deck on the front of your house. So you can't have a deck on the front. It has to be on the side or on the back. And that deck can't be higher than 9 feet. So, you know, we've got friends that have like a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot house that have a big, beautiful, wide deck on the front. It's probably, I don't know, it's definitely higher than 9 feet. They have a walkout basement. Like, this is a big, beautiful home, and they pay a gazillion dollars in taxes to the county, you know, for this beautiful home that they built. So retroactively, when this land use bylaw comes into effect, if they were to apply those regulations retroactively to them, they would be looking at potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars in renovation costs to in order to become compliant with the new land use bylaw. So, yeah, it's excessively punitive.
Yeah, it's very weird. You know, like, you think you buy agricultural property or acreages so that you can actually have the freedom to build the way that you want, and to have the animals and the livestock that you want, that you can do whatever you want for crops or gardens without anybody sort of hassling you. I mean, unless you're doing some pretty evil land practices, then maybe somebody might show up at your place. But, you know, most people.
But that all already exists under other laws, right?
Yeah. So yes, exactly.
You already can't dump hydrochloric acid in the creek, right? Like, that doesn't need to be covered under that kind of thing. Well, and one of the ways that this affects us is we bought this land in the spring, with the intention of developing the land. So it was bare land, didn't even have a fence around it. We put a fence around it. We moved our camper on, and now we're getting used to the land, getting used to the neighborhood, and trying to figure out, okay, so where now on this property do we want to build a house? So weren't in a position to be able to build a home, you know, prior to winter coming upon us. So we're staying in our camper on the property. And yeah, we got a letter from the county saying that that's not allowed, right? That we're not allowed to actually stay in our camper on our own property. We argued that because it's actually not written in the bylaw that currently governs us, right? So there's nothing in there saying that we can't do that. And actually, if I think back now, I think that's what actually began to alert me to the fact that there may be a different document that they were referring to. And so when I saw the notice for this new land use bylaw, that's what made me wonder, oh, I wonder if that's going to be changing in the new land use bylaw, which is actually what prompted me to look at it, in which it is actually specifically designated in there that you cannot live in your camper on your own property.
Yeah. And that's wild. That's actually, I phoned the county here where I live to see if that was like, well, what if there was any changes, et cetera. But that's one of the things that they said, was that the bylaw here is the same. Like, you can't actually camp on your agricultural land, but they were considering actually changing that to be more lenient because they thought it was excessive. Yeah. So we're, and again, it's like talking to people right now. Right now is the time to get ahead of this, wherever you are. And it doesn't matter whether you're urban or you're rural, these things do affect you, because the people who own agricultural land are the ones who feed you. They're the ones who put the groceries in the store, the eggs on the shelf. they're large producers of all different kinds of grain and food, milk, some eggs, some just basic, all the basic stuff, and vegetables, of course. So if you can't actually, manage your land, if farmers and agriculture people can't manage their land the way that they ought to, you're not going to have any food in urban centers that isn't trucked in from somewhere else. So is that a concern, or what do you think about that, Carrie, or is that right out to lunch?
Well, no, it's absolutely bang on. And one of the things in the country residential regulations, it says in there that you can participate in agritourism. So if you live in a country residential area, which is only, I'm not even sure, there's maybe a dozen country residential lots or less in the entire county, that would be qualified as country residential. But so under the new country residential regulations in this proposed bylaw, you can participate in agritourism, but you can't actually participate in any of the fundamentals of agriculture because they completely restrict what you're actually able to do on your own land from an agricultural perspective. So there's like just so many inconsistencies in the bylaw itself that it's unreasonable. It is unreasonable to expect people to be able to comply with this the way they have it laid out right now. And, and one of the reasons why, you visited the Facebook page that we made. We also have a website. But one of the reasons why we made the posts and stuff on there is because as a group of people or a group of concerned citizens in the community, we had a suspicion that we weren't alone in this. We had a suspicion that if our bylaw is undergoing such drastic changes right now, what are the chances that there's going to be a number of communities through Alberta or even through Canada, mm-hmm. or even internationally that are going through similar changes, which is the reason why I made that original Facebook post imploring people to take a look at their own land use bylaws. And shockingly, we've gotten a ton of responses from people saying that, yes, in fact, their land use bylaws have recently been updated. They're in the process of being updated. So we were correct. This isn't isolated to Thornhill County. And yes, every community needs to have land use bylaws and they need to update those land use bylaws. But granted, it's just, to me, I find it an interesting coincidence that so many communities are undergoing the same process simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. So how can people find your website, your Facebook page, and then we'll talk about some of the other people who've been in contact with you and the things that they're experiencing?
Yeah, so the Facebook page is Friends of Thornhill County Fighting the Proposed Land Use Bylaw. So Friends of Thornhill County Fighting the Proposed Land Use Bylaw. You can find us on Facebook there. You can find us on Twitter at Voice of Thor. So capital V, capital O, capital T on Voice of Thor. So you can find us there. Our website, I'm just getting it for you from my partner here. One second. Yeah.
Work in progress.
Yeah. So the website, we're trying to keep this, up to date as much as we can. But again, it's a very dynamic situation and things are changing and we have no new information coming in all the time and new questions coming into us that we didn't think to necessarily address. So, people are emailing us. We're flooded. It's actually become a full-time job managing the Facebook page. And for, another member of our group, it's become a full-time job for her. Replying to all the inquiries that we're getting on the website. So sorry, the website is Thornhill County Res, so R-E-S, or sorry, Resi, R-E-S-I, dot Wix site, so WIXSITE.com/TC residents.
Great. Everyone take a moment just to write that down. And again, we'll have it in the show notes. You can check out this version on the website, masteryourlife.ca, or you can come over to the Rumble channel so you'll be able to share it with your friends and family, because of course, probably this will not fly on YouTube because we keep getting, because the censorship just keeps happening there. So, please make sure that you share it with your friends, and your family and people that you care about or anyone from around the world that you know is involved, in agriculture or is concerned about kind of food shortages and having access to food. Cause this is a real concern right now, that we are having our sources of food, cut off. It seems that that's sort of the thing. So let's talk about some of the other questions that you've had, Carrie, come into the Facebook group. And or maybe other even groups of where people are coming from, airing or asking questions.
So I would say the bulk of the questions that we have got have been coming from other communities saying, they're asking us, is this happening in my community? I think that's probably the number one question that we get. Is this happening in my community? Do we know if it is? And how do we start the process of finding out? Like, people are not even knowing at this point where to look for their own land use bylaw. So we've been doing a lot of guiding people through finding their own county website, accessing their own existing land use bylaw, looking through the, their agendas and the minutes of the meetings to see where this has been being discussed and whatnot. So that's probably the number one thing. And the number two thing we're getting is they're saying, okay, we see that this clause is in there, but how does this realistically and practically affect us, right? They're just not really understanding always the application of it. So just helping people interpret how the language in the bylaw would actually apply to their, personal situation. So I'd say that's probably the main inquiries that we're getting.
Okay. And how can people, what would you say is the best advice for people who really don't want to burden you guys with more questions, but who want to take it more on the nose for themselves? What's the things that you're telling people specifically to do?
Yeah. We're telling them to contact their own council. So contact your CAO, your council, get onto your county webpage and get all the contact information. Then call them, email them, send letters to them, request information from them, right? It's their job to communicate with you. I mean, there's no law that says how often or in what way your counselor should communicate with you or has to communicate with you. Other than they do need to make themselves reasonably accessible to the public as, someone that was voted in by their constituents, right? So definitely be reaching out to your own council to get them to send you whatever information they have and ask for transparency, right? Is our bylaw slated to be looked at, And then if they don't know how to read the language of a bylaw, because sometimes that language can be overwhelming and confusing. And I find that with my background in disaster and emergency management, looking through legislation is actually fairly, it comes kind of easily to me, but I found even with this new bylaw, with the layout and stuff, it was so confusing the way it was laid out. I actually had a hard time and was doing a lot of flipping back and forth and trying to figure out and then comparing it to the existing bylaw. So if people are having difficulty actually understanding the language of the bylaw that they're reading, to reach out to us too. Like, we are happy if they can send us a snippet of something and they want to, for us to give them a little bit of guidance as to how that may actually apply to them. I have absolutely no problem doing that. But our preference would be for them to take the information the situation that we're in, and then applying it into their own community. We actually made a document on the Facebook page guiding people. So if this is happening in your community, these are the steps that you can take. So you can actually look for that on our Facebook page. I think I have it pinned to the top. Just guidance for people of what they can do to get this information and get the ball rolling in their own community.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And don't let the ball drop on this, guys. If this is something that resonates for you, make sure that you actually take the time to go to the pinned post and do the action. Because it's so easy to let the thing slip. And I was talking again, thank you for notifying everyone about this, because I called the county office this morning here in Camrose to find out what's going on here. And I got a call back and they talked through the talking points, but they're going through the process too. And what the person who works at the county said to me is, it's most important that people get ahead of this before it becomes bylaw, because then you're applying for permits. And if you are asking for special permits for anything, like, in the bylaws already there, it's really hard to get the permit approved. So it's better to actually be part of the planning process, make sure that you're weighing in as much as you can there, and then not having to put out fires later. But really, who would have thought that, no one's really looking at their neighbor as doing things that are maybe not in everyone's best interest, but we need to right now. So it's like part of that putting on your own little detective hat and going, if this resonates for you, make sure that you're reaching out for help and support. Get together for people that you know are able to read through things and talk through what it could mean, these certain legislations with your neighbors. I think your neighbor example is a great one because, well, it doesn't necessarily pertain to you. You're looking out for how could this pertain for and affect other people? You know, so that's part of our job too, as good stewards of our communities, is to really look out for how does this not just affect me, but how does it affect my neighbors? How does it affect my family? How does it affect the generations of my family to come? Like, you guys are just building a home there, but if you've got children or grandchildren and these kind of things are coming into effect and you didn't know it and you're planning on handing your property over, your land down to your family, and here comes these crazy, what we, you know, suggested of bylaws that are not Albertan at all. And that to kind of go, all right, how do we actually take back our property and our land and our ownership and our stewardship of our own lives? So it's very important to do that. Can you share a couple of examples of people who or communities who've come and said, this is what's going on? I saw a couple, but I'd love to hear you share.
Well, I know that the folks from Brazos County, as an example, you know, came forward and said, hey, we didn't know that Green Space Alliance also, you know, did our land use bylaw before. So, like, I was really pleased for them. I mean, even though that's already been put into existence, you know, the fact that they are now being alerted to it and they are, you know, now going through and making themselves very aware of what is happening in their own community. So, you know, that's pretty big. But also, it's all over the province where people are saying, like, and actually I've been really pleased to hear that a lot of people are reaching out to their counselors and getting good responses back, you know. And in fact, we've even had a couple of counties make their own Facebook posts saying, hey, we're aware of what's going on in Thornhill County. We would like to reassure you we are not at that stage where we are going to be, you know, revisiting our land use bylaw for the next couple of years or whatever. So it's like brought a lot of attention at many different levels, which is very pleasing to me. Even we've had some counselors reach out to us, so from other counties to reach out to us. One lady was a counselor in a small community, and she was like, I just got voted to council. We're a very small community. What can I do as a counselor? So she's asking us for advice. Mm-hmm. That to follow as a counselor, like, what should I be looking for now that I sit on council? Like, how can I stop this kind of thing from, you know, coming into my own community? Which is totally wild that, you know, we're not lawyers. We are not council members. None of us have ever sat on any board like that before. You know, this was just kind of dumped in our laps and we've like educated ourselves on the fly here. So, but we're doing the best we can to help people out. But yeah, it's difficult. Like, we don't want to provide any legal advice or anything like that, but just all we can really talk about is what we've experienced so far and what has worked and what, well, I want to say what hasn't worked, but I don't think we've really had anything that hasn't worked yet because right. we haven't like been stonewalled at all yet, other than for the county to tell us that they're not going to give us, they've provided us with no timeline as to when they're actually going to revisit. It could be next council meeting. It could be in a year from now. We really have no idea.
Right. That's interesting. Hey, that their process is not really a process. It's just sort of left in limbo, maybe to the advantage. I'm not sure. One of the posts that was in the Facebook group this morning was from Vulcan, and it was about gardens. Did you see that one?
I haven't. No.
Okay. It's something to do with garden use that people somebody's trying to legislate or put bylaws around garden use. So again, just something for people to be aware of.
I can't say that that's anything that I've seen in our proposed land use bylaw. Not going to say it's not in there. I definitely have missed things. Even just this morning going through, I was like, oh my gosh, I've read this entire document, but somehow this is now standing out to me. I didn't notice it before. So I can't say it's not in ours, but it definitely could be existing in other land use bylaws out there. Yeah.
Just things to be, to keep an eye out for, I guess. And again, talking to your neighbors, talking to your family, talking to your friends about what's going on and what it is that you want for your future is so important too. Like, you guys moved to there, right? You're like, here we are going to build a home. And then all of a sudden, it's all of a sudden. So what do you see for your future right now, Carrie?
Well, we're in, honestly, in kind of a little bit of a panic mode because our goal, my husband and I, is we want to do everything with, like, for cash, not with a mortgage, right? That's our goal. We want to be financially independent. The position that we've been put in now, saying that we can't stay in our camper while we build a home, is, well, what do we do then? If we do, we have to go buy a home in another community, or do we have to go rent somewhere? Then that's actually kind of forcing us into debt slavery, right? Because then in order to build a home, we can't afford to live somewhere else and put the money away in order to build a home, right? So now we would have to be, like, basically forced into looking to getting a mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. We got to go pay rent somewhere. And it makes no sense to me, since we actually physically own the land that we're on and we're not harming anyone. So I can't imagine why they would need to have control over that. I could see in town, maybe not having, you know, if you're in a community, maybe you don't, if you have a nice big backyard, you don't let, you know, three of your family members set up trailers in your backyard and you have, like, a little, you know, makeshift RV park, maybe. I could see neighbors possibly having an issue with that. But where we are, like, out in the middle of the country, like, you know, so for our future, it's kind of put us into a little bit of a panic mode, because now we're thinking, if this bylaw goes through, what we are doing is going to instantly be illegal, right? And so we're looking at our options, like, are we going to have to go get a mortgage now to actually build a home? It's not what we want to do. We want to build something with our own hands, you know? So, and which my husband actually spoke really well to this at the public hearing, because part of the reason why we moved into this area is because this is the area of Alberta that was first settled. We were so inspired by the pioneer spirit that comes from this place. So we want to live on our land and work our land with our own hands and build our own home. And it feels like we're being penalized for wanting to do that.
Yeah. Well, my heart really goes out to you and to the rest of the folks at in Thoresby right now and around the world who are fighting all this stuff, because it is a real, it's a real problem. Because when you actually are a moral person, it's very difficult to go against things that are illegal, you know? So it's like trying to force the hand of people who are good to do things that are illegal, you know?
Right.
So sit on your land, be a squatter, you know, get tickets from bylaw, just all of that really nasty energy, which nobody wants. It's like you're there trying to do something in peace and celebration of a life that you've lived up to this point, so that you can be in Thoresby and make this decision around your pioneering life. And then to have this sort of thrown at you is not that awesome. But the other thing is, I'm really happy that you were intellectually savvy enough and maybe spiritually savvy enough to pick up what was going on. And to not kind of go, ooh, well, it's, you know, whatever, no big deal. Because if you hadn't caught it, then we could be having a very different discussion about how your land has all been, you know, rezoned and just for all kinds of different things. So yeah. You've been a very big inspiration, I think, your group too, to people around the world, really, who are reaching out and interested in this, because it's not just happening in Alberta, as I said at the beginning of this broadcast. So what would you say to people to maybe help them to stay positive and not necessarily optimistic, but do you see some optimism in this story, or how are you feeling about all that at the moment?
Oh, so I would say I see almost exclusively optimism in our community, for sure. Like, we get a lot of emails and comments from people saying, thank you so much for doing this. I'm like, thank you for thanking us. The best thanks would be for you to now call council as well. You call council, you write letters, you do this. And so what we're seeing, I would say exclusively optimism, people feeling empowered by a movement to feel like they are not just at the mercy of this bylaw, that they actually have some say in their own community and they have some power to stop it. And it's like safety in numbers, kind of, right? I think you've seen the Facebook page, the Facebook page has grown. It's 9 days old or 8 days old, I think. And we have over 1,500 members. That original post that I made has been shared more than 34,000 times, or has reached, you know, a post reach of more than 34,000. You know, so it's, I would say, yeah, almost exclusively we're seeing optimism. We've had the very odd comment of people saying, you know, we're kind of like being, you know, Chicken Little saying the sky is falling, or that, you know, to say, well, it's coming anyway, so what difference does it make? But those comments are so, honestly, I can say, I can count them on one hand, the amount of negative comments that we've got. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say people are very, very optimistic. They actually feel empowered that they can do something, which is always my goal in life. I want people to develop like personal resiliency, you know, like your own internal strength, but also resiliency in your own community to be able to, you know, feed yourself, grow your own food, that kind of stuff. And I think we're seeing that more and more where people are, you know, looking at what we're doing here and going, oh, you know what, we can actually be working towards this as well. We can fight these, draconian bylaws that we're facing and actually, you know, look towards more self-sufficiency. So yeah.
Yeah.
I've been pleased.
Yeah, that's great. So, and for people who are looking for more resources around self-sufficiency, again, make sure that you come over to the Rumble channel, because there'll be other things posted there about other things that are actually coming down the pike that people are maybe not aware of. So we've just been made aware of a lot of things in the last, I don't know, 4 weeks. The other thing I would want to ask you what your thoughts are about a year from now. Best case scenario, we're sitting here in the beginning of January, end of January, beginning of February, 2024. What's changed in Thorhild County, and you know, how would the last 12 months have been a satisfying sort of time in your life?
Well, ideally, what I would like to see happen is for them to just leave the existing bylaw alone. Mm-hmm. Or create it into its own document, its own, like I said, its own cohesive document where the amendments that have been made over time are just integrated into it, without all of this extraneous stuff that's been added to the proposed document. If that were to happen, we can carry on what we're doing personally, what my husband and I are doing on our land. We can build our home. We can... you know, move forward as we had planned and hoped to. But not only that, but I hope that that would give everybody else in the community, you know, just a real sense of relief that, and mm-hmm. Joy, I guess, that they actually were, their voices were heard, right? That they spoke up against this and said, no, this is not the right thing for our community. We need to put a stop to this. So in a year from now, if we're able to have that conversation, where people can say, yeah, this almost happened in Thorhill County, but all of us worked together to defeat it, I would say that would be the ultimate victory for us. So
yeah. Beautiful. One last thing that I wanted to ask, because you've only been there 8 months. And so for people who are thinking, I don't have any impact, I haven't been in my community for very long, or I'm too young to say anything about any of this stuff that's going on, or maybe I'm too old to say anything, all the reasons why people don't say anything. But here you stepped into this community only in 8 months, and somehow you managed to get in this position where you can actually help people without really asking for it. So how did you do that? Like, how did you build those bridges in a new community?
Yeah, I can't take any credit for that at all. We have excellent neighbors. The people that we've met and are living alongside in our community are among the greatest people that I've ever met. It's actually been our favorite community that we've ever lived in. My husband and I have moved a number of times. We've actually been absolutely blown away with how we have been welcomed into the neighborhood with our own neighbors, and also just empowered to do things. They love what we're doing, right? They and have welcomed us into their homes. And so that would be what I would say for anybody that just because you're new in the community, or you think you're too young or too old, just go talk to your neighbors and just out of love, just let them know that you're not coming in with like, you're not trying to ramrod anything through. You're trying to actually, you know, protect the community as well through just advocacy, right? Advocacy for freedom, really.
Yeah. Well put. Well put. So everyone, again, thank you to Carrie Thiessen for joining me today on this episode of Master Your Life. If you're looking for Carrie, she is the admin of the group, Thorhild County Friends Fighting for the Proposed Land Use Bylaw. And so you can also find her at her website. Can you just say the website again, Carrie, for everybody?
It's Thorhild County Resi, so resi.wixsite.com/TC Residence.
Beautiful. So you can find this episode on the Rumble channel, Master Your Life Rumble. Come and check it out. It's a purple icon right now with nothing too fancy schmancy, but you'll be able to find me there. And watch this interview. Make sure that you share it far and wide with all your family and friends. Again, thank you everybody for joining me today. Love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. That's all for us. Thanks again, Carrie. Bye for now.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.